Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our gospel lesson, the gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. Well, Hurricane Michael came through this past week, and, well, many this time heeded the warning to leave. The sheriff of Apalachicola, there on the coast there of Florida, was in particular pleased about what was going on because they had gone out and went around knocking on doors to make sure that people got the word that, hey, they need to leave, that this hurricane was getting stronger, that they needed to go, that they wouldn't be protected if they stuck it out. So lots of folks left. But it always grieves me as I see the death toll starting to rise because there are some folks who just didn't leave. It grieves me when they've been warned and they know that it's dangerous to stay, that they don't do that. Now they think they can ride it out and, well, they end up paying for that decision. Now I've been through a couple of evacuations, and so I know what it's like to having to leave the foundations that you call your home. One time when that happened, when after Hurricane Matthew went through in Savannah, well, I went around a week later with Comfort Dog. And so I went to an adult daycare center, and so we were visiting the residents there. And, well, there was one person who kept following us around who wanted to be there with the dog constantly. And it wasn't one of the residents there, it's one of the staff. And so she was sitting down there with the dog next to me, and she's petting the dog, and I kind of asked her questions. It was kind of like, well, you seem a little bit stressed. And she goes, yeah, I stayed behind. And I said, really? And she said, yeah. She goes, I can't get out of my mind the howling of the wind. It was such a frightening thing. She goes, I've been waking up every night from a nightmare because I hear the howling of the winds. What would it have taken for that message to have gotten through to evacuate? What kind of wisdom would she have needed to do that? Well, we all have questions. Our young man in our gospel reading, he too had a question. He had his own. And he came up, and as Jesus was getting ready to go on a journey, he came up and knelt before Jesus and said, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, that's a good question. Well, many folks already feel that they have a solid foundation of an answer for that. They come back with a response with, well, if I am good, then God's going to have to let me in. Well, let's see what Jesus has to say. First off, how does Jesus reply to the young man's question? Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. Now, why would Jesus say something like that? Well, what Jesus is doing there is he's setting the baseline. He's setting the baseline on what is good and what is not good. The young man obviously thought that you needed to do something in order to be good, to get into heaven. So Jesus starts off with, who is good? The young man, not truly understanding who he was standing there before, is the one who called him good teacher. Jesus replies with, no, only God is good. Now notice here that Jesus didn't say man is good. Man hasn't been good since the beginning there in the garden. After the fall, it was impossible for man to be good. In fact, you go to Genesis chapter 6, where the Lord talks of his creation there. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. You know, this isn't the only time the Bible says something about this. Psalm 14, you read this. They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. So the heart of man is only evil continually, and there is no one who is good, not even one. Except for the fact of the one who was standing right there in front of that young man. You know, these are the kinds of situations in which I know that God has a sense of humor. God's right there. No. Call me good teacher? Only God is good. Well, Jesus being both God and man, well, that would certainly apply to Jesus. Good teacher. But Jesus is making a point here because the man who's standing there is thinking that Jesus is just but a man. And Jesus, knowing all the scripture passages and those passages about man's heart, now brings up the commandments. how has the young man done in regards to them? Jesus said, you know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother. And he said to him, teacher, all these I have kept from my youth. Really? You think you're that good? When it comes down to getting into heaven, almost every religion on the planet would say that, well, you have to be good in order to get into heaven. Only the best of the best, only the truly worthy are the ones who will get into heaven. While others think that, surely this young man's schooling, surely he would have come across this passage from Isaiah. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. All of our righteous deeds are like a dirty rag. That's what Isaiah is saying here. And yet this man thinks that he has done enough. He thinks that the scriptures are talking about somebody else and not him. You know, he's got enough wiggle room there that he's been good enough. He can get in. But before we get too far here, what commandments is Jesus bringing up here? Murder, adultery, stealing, false witness, defrauding your neighbor. Okay, that's applying there to covet. You know, do not covet. And then he finishes them all up with number four, honor your father and mother. Now, when you look at the commandments there, that would be what we would consider the second table of the commandments, the second half. All those can be summarized by what? Love your neighbor as yourself. Luther talked about how the commandments can be used like a mirror to reflect. You know, are you keeping them? You look at them, it's like, hey, did I keep that one or that one and that one? Now, this guy here, when he's looking in the mirror, this young man is saying, hey, I'm good. I got them all. What a contrast. The young man with whom Scripture says no one is good is standing in front of the only one who was truly ever good all the time. The good teacher there, showing no scorn, only love, gives the young man the answer. Jesus goes back to the commandments and begins to unpack the first three by summarizing them. Think about that. If love your neighbor as yourself are the last 4 through 10, what are 1 through 3? Jesus said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And then the rest are like the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. So how does he unpack this here for this young man? He says it this way. You lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. What Jesus is saying here to this young man is you have all these things here that are in the way. You're only looking at yourself and your own life here. You need to remove those things in your life that are truly keeping you from loving God. Go and sell your possessions, give them to the poor. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then come and follow me. You see, the things of this life were preventing that man from loving God. He was all about it himself. Hence his reaction, we know this. Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. It's not so much that you have possessions or even great possessions that's the issue here. Rather, what it is what do you do with them? Is obtaining them and keeping them the most important thing? Or do you use them as a tool to serve the Lord? You see, the young man fell there and saw that his things were his treasure. Not using his things to serve the Lord and to build up true treasure is where he sinned. No one is good, save the good teacher. He was good. He was always good. He was the one who kept the commandments. He kept all of the commandments. He's the one who always loved the Lord his God. He's the one who loved his neighbor as himself, even when that neighbor was not so loving. Jesus offered up his life for the unlovable people. and that includes us all. For no one is good. Not one of us is worthy. We would like to hold on to that anchor there that I'm good. Well, I'm certainly better than that person. You know, our righteous deeds here that we think are good, well, they're not good enough to get us into heaven. The good teacher knew that. Only his death and resurrection can make us good. You see, the forgiveness of sins he earned on the cross and his rising from the grave alive is what makes us good. And these are gifts given to us. Through that gift of faith that we have, we know that we're forgiven. We know that we have hope of everlasting life. And it's through faith in Jesus Christ that we will inherit eternal life. No work done by us will get us in. The strong foundation that we are seeking is Jesus Christ and Him alone. Now, sure, we do foolish things there, and we can be like those folks who say, well, I can ride this storm out here. You know, I've got a good foundation here. I can do all of these things. And notice I keep saying, I. It's not about me. It's about what He did for us. You see, Jesus is the one who prevents us from being swept away by our own sins. A good reminder of that is the thief on the cross. He knew he was getting what he deserved. Yet it was Jesus who said to him, today you will be with me in paradise. Consider today how loving a God you truly have, particularly when your own self-righteousness begins to creep in. It's not about you. It's all about Him. It's all about Jesus. It is through Him and Him alone that, yes, you can say, because of Jesus, I will inherit eternal life. Amen. Now may the peace of God surpasses all human understanding. Guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us rise.